This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
So recently, I've been working with a number of small investors who are either purchasing or developing small, more automated facilities. And quickly, the conversation turns to how are we going to manage them? Let's talk about how to set up an automated management company today, if you're a small investor. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer, both free like this and paid for courses. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Hit the store tab. I'm currently reorganizing how I manage self-storage, boat and RV, both managed facilities and automated facilities. But today, let's focus on setting up automated facilities. This is the first of a two-part series on how to set one up. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't relate to myself as a management expert. I'm really not. I've managed close to, over the years, to $100 million worth of facilities. And most of them have been ones that I have an ownership in. In fact, all of them except one. One time I managed one property as a third-party manager. Now, I have hired third-party managers recently, particularly for smaller automated facilities. I've got to say, I've not been that impressed. But my experience is very limited, so don't take what I say as the truth. It's just my experience from limited exposure. But I'm in the process of organizing and helping other people organize their management operations. So what I thought I'd do is tell you a little bit about how at least we're getting organized today. And let me say that with a caveat. Depending on when you see this or when you read this, what I'm doing at that particular moment is probably going to be different than what I'm going to talk about in these episodes, because nothing is evolving faster in the self-storage industry as operations with all the technology that's coming out. We're going to talk about what I'm currently doing today, but keep in mind, it could be very different 6 months, a year from now. And how we're managing facilities today, as you will see, is quite different than I was 2 years ago even. I've always believed, for me, that it's important for me to manage my own assets as much as possible. No one's going to care about the performance and the value creation of that asset more than I am. Plus, how I've been organized, I tend to try to always be adding value to my partners and my investors, and the management of the facility as well as the overall management of all the assets together are a big part of what I consider my job to be. Therefore, I've learned what I've needed to learn so far in the art of self-storage management. I don't relate to myself as the best manager out there. I'm just going to be sharing with you what I'm currently doing and what I'm helping other people do if they ask for help in setting up their small management operations. So I'm definitely not the smartest guy in the room, so I like to keep things pretty simple. So where I always start when I'm thinking about companies or different operations is I always start with an organizational chart. It allows me kind of to lay out a flow of how I see things happening, and it keeps my attention on the right things because my attention can wander. So let's look at how we're setting up our management operations today for automated facilities. Now, we're going to look at an organizational chart, but rather than focused on people, we're going to be focused on functions. Let's take a look at it. So you have your management company. And basically, there's three branches. You have the customer service branch, you have the property level branch, and you have the marketing branch. Today, we're going to talk about customer service and property level. Next week, we'll talk about the marketing branch. Inside customer service, or inside all of them, there needs to be someone accountable. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then in the customer service branch, you've got to deal with questions, inbound calls, prospective customers, and converting them into customers. Then you have to have some type of office operation, collections, billing, reporting, and those can be done either with employees or vendors or both. At the property level, dealing with the property itself, the physical property, you need someone accountable. We just call it a field manager. Most likely that will be you, but it doesn't have to be. Then you're going to need a physical person or someone to do the cleanup of the facility, getting units ready, doing the work on the facility. And then you're going to need either a crew or vendors to do ongoing repair work to the property. So if we're laying our company out and the functions that need to occur, this is what we see at this stage. Now, this is just if you're managing your own facility. If you're doing third-party management, there's probably another whole division on client relations, client reporting, client communication. We're not going to talk about that in these two episodes. We're just going to make the assumption you're managing your own facilities. So let's talk about the customer service aspect of your automated management operations. This is where you interact with potential customers and customers. Now, I'll start from the premise that our overall vision of this division of the management operations for an automated facility is that we want our customer service in the automated facility to be equal to or better than a managed facility with a manager on site. Sometimes easier said than done, but that's where we start from. So all the decisions we make are coming from that intention. I've always liked managing or overseeing the management of our facilities because I like someone every day that when they wake up, their focus, their sole accountability almost is that property. Now, with third-party managers, I often felt like I was getting a narrow part of their bandwidth. Now, if you feel like you don't have the bandwidth, then it might not be you, but it could be a partner or it could be another company that you're involved in. Now, for all the divisions, we feel like somebody needs to be accountable for it. Now, ultimately, as the owner, you're accountable for all of it. And I'm going to make the assumption that for the majority of us out there, we're the ones, at least at first, that are accountable for the different divisions. So it could be you. Or in our case, we have a vendor, a consultant that we're working with. Now, I'm accountable for that division at the moment. I will be turning it over to someone in our management operations soon. But for now, it's me, because as we set up our new management company. But I work directly with a consultant that helps me set up the different things we're going to talk about today. Now I'm going to share with you how we're doing it at the moment. Again, keep in mind this very well could be different 6 months from now. But right now in the customer service division, everything starts with a call center. Now, you can vendor out and hire a call center. We're not doing that, but you can do that, and I work with people who do that. But we're setting up a call center. And this call center is a combination of AI chatbots and virtual assistants, VAs. Sounds high tech, but it might be simpler than you may think. Chatbots have come a long way. I'm working with a consultant now who is can design, who designs chatbots for the self-storage space, particularly for small automated facilities and smaller owners like us. And pretty soon, I think chatbots are going to be almost as easy as a WordPress website is today. There'll be templates for them, etc. But I'm not learning that. I hire somebody to do it, and they're pretty effective at these chatbots. Now, I've called some companies, some self-storage facilities that utilize chatbots that have been created by our consultant, and for the most part, you don't know that you're not talking to somebody, particularly at first. About 90% of all potential customers' inquiries can be, if somebody calls a number on a website, a chatbot will answer and can answer 90% of the questions. Now, when I ask questions such as, you know, how much is a 10x10, I would get a feature, they tell me the price, and I would get a benefit. And I asked, you know, three or four general questions, and then I ask a complicated question to see what would happen. And the complicated question I asked was, can I split my payment up each month on two different credit cards? At that point, I was informed I was talking to AI, and that they were going to connect me with a live person, and I was connected with a virtual assistant who answered my question. It was pretty impressive. So what that does is allows us to have a call center, but keep the cost down. We're paying virtual assistants who are basically independent contractors, not employees, and we own the chatbots, and they can be updated, tweaked to get better and better and better, and focus on the features and benefits of our particular property that someone is calling on. The other thing that's interesting is behind the call center is software that measures everything. And for example, we will be setting up key performance indicators that will help us determine how effective our call center's being. And we'll measure things such as the average amount of seconds or rings it takes to answer the call, abandonment rates for calls, and average conversions from a potential customer into a customer on those calls. This will inform us where our weaknesses are, do we need to be training the VAs in a certain area? Do we need to be changing the chatbots in a different area? And it will allow us to constantly be improving our conversion rate and our interaction with potential customers. And the same thing will apply to customers. So many customers will move in online without ever talking to somebody, but if they do reach out, chatbots can answer 90% of the questions that most customers have, which are usually around billing or getting codes or something simple. As you know, most inquiries from customers are pretty simple. And then the ones that aren't are turned over to live VAs. The VAs also do our collection calls. And the same call center software will measure things for existing customers, such as customer satisfaction ratings, which can be texted to or done live on a phone after a particular issue. How many issues are handled on the first call resolution rate. And for maintenance, I'm going to be setting up somewhat the same thing. On our website, there'll be a place where people can fill out a request for maintenance if they're having a maintenance issue or a problem with their unit or see a problem in the facility. If they make a phone call in, the system will automatically text them a form to fill out. That form will automatically be sent to, as you'll see at the facility level, the boots on the ground person or a vendor, depending on what the issue is. The software that we're going to be using for this will measure how many days it takes to get the maintenance issue done. The customer will automatically be notified when the issue is done. A survey, which they may or may not answer, but will go out, measuring satisfaction. And for most maintenance issues, we'll have a goal of a 3-day turnaround. And we think, or I think, handling maintenance issues this way not only improves customer service, but it will add value to the asset when it comes time for disposition. If we're dealing with a buyer, particularly an institutional buyer, and we can say that we have an 86% satisfaction level from customers on maintenance issues. The average maintenance issue is handled within 2.5 days, and we've got the data to back it up. It adds value to the asset that we're selling. Now, again, AI, chatbots, VA sounds real complicated. It's not as complicated as you may think. And we pay a consultant to set it up and help us organize our tech stack, as it's called these days, to handle the back end and front end of the management aspects of our self-storage facilities. Ultimately, we still rate the effectiveness of our customer service division by the number of referrals, new leases we get from existing and past customers. And that's a fairly simple thing to measure. We've been measuring it for years. It's usually the second or third highest form of new leases for our company. And even in automated facilities, that's still the game that we're playing for. Now let's talk a minute about at the property level. For most automated facilities, someone needs to be accountable to make sure that at a physical level, the property looks good, it's taken care of, vacant units are quickly put on the market for new customers to move into, and when a potential customer or an existing customer shows up at that facility, it's clean, neat, the doors function, everything's working. That's the game. That's what the field manager's accountability is. Most likely that's you. Then at the next level down, there's usually what, at least in automated facilities, what we call boots on the ground person. That boots on the ground person is someone who shows up 2 to 3 times a week, has specific tasks to do, and they can do them when they decide it gets done. So for example, we'll have that we want the facility clean 3 days a week, with at least a day and 1 day in between them, and that we want one lock inspection report done per week. And each day we will text, the system will text them what units to prepare that has someone's moved out in to do the maintenance and the cleaning on that unit to get it ready. And that every time they go there, we want the aisles blown, the kiosk checked, make sure the gate's working, and we give them a task of things to do. Now, we can't tell them exactly how many hours we want per day there. We can tell them what we want done per week and what the maximum number of hours is, and anything over that, you gotta get permission. But these are 1099, they're not employees, they're independent contractors, 1099 people. If I tell them what day to be there and what hours to be there, they're really employees, and you don't want to be getting sideways with the IRS. Plus, if you treat somebody like an employee, then they should get the rights and the benefits that employees get instead of the freedom that a 1099 person gets. And often this boots on the ground person may handle some of the, what we'll talk about next week on the marketing. Most of them don't. I know a couple that do, but most of them don't. Some of the boots on the ground people can handle simple maintenance issues. But you also need a list of vendors to call when you have issues, like HVAC issues, needing a door roll-up door replaced issue, gate repair issues, security camera repair issues. Your vendor list, and I would really work on getting this like created immediately or before you take over the management of a facility, so that when these come up, you're not like looking for who to get out there. You have a list of vendors to call. In the world of automated facilities, this vendor list is real important, so you can respond quickly, efficiently, and get good ratings all the way through, from potential customers to customers that will write reviews and give high ratings on surveys for how well you're handling and managing your facility. Remember, you want to set yourself up to win at the game of management if you're going to be taking over the management of your facility from a third party or setting up the management operations for a new acquisition or a new build. So that's the first two divisions of how we're setting up automated management facilities. Next week, we'll talk about the marketing aspect and complete this series on how to set up your automated self-storage management operations. Thank you, and I look forward to being with you next week. And I'll see you then.